Hello, welcome everyone. I'm Minister Ginger London. Welcome to the Learning to Forgive radio series 14-Day Challenge, the challenge where we are breaking the cycle of the pain that is destroying the joy in your life. We're on days 5 and 6. I'm excited that you're joining me, whether you are live or whether you're listening to the replay. We have been going over some important details about learning to forgive others. And I know sometimes that can be challenging in your life, especially when the hurt, the pain, the situation, the incident was horrific, or it was extremely painful, or just involved a lot of activities among, you know, different people, just between you and someone else. It may have been going, maybe it has gone on for a long period of time, and you now realize that you have stunted your own growth in life by harboring unforgiveness and harboring resentment and harboring bitterness towards that person, and really just about any situations that may be similar to that. You could be hindering your own growth in life, and so you're not experiencing the joy that you were created to experience. So for this show, we're going to be talking about acknowledging and accepting your true feelings. It's going to be very important. We're going to open up with a scripture. We're going to open up with prayer, and we will close the same way. So if you're taking notes, the scripture reading is going to come from Psalm chapter 51, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 11, and we'll talk about that for a few minutes before we get into learning to forgive others teaching. So Psalm 51, verses 6 through 11, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Verse 11, "Do not cast away from me your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Let's pray, and then let's work through the scriptures. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you on today. We just acknowledge who you are. There is no God like you. We worship you. We just honor you. And we ask right now, before we go any further into this teaching, that you would search our hearts, creating us a clean heart. We repent of our sins. We ask that you forgive us, wash us clean with the washing of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit. We set everything before you. We're casting all of our cares upon you because you care for us, never to pick it up again. As we learn to forgive others, create in us a clean heart, that we may do this by faith, and that we may do it in sincerity, Lord God, and in a spirit of worship unto you. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for using us as instruments of righteousness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So amen, everybody. We're talking about acknowledging and accepting your true feelings. And I wanted to read this scripture because this passage of scripture says a lot. It starts off when you go back, if you read the whole chapter of Psalm 51, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness." Now we're asking God, the psalmist is asking God to have mercy upon him, O God, according to your loving kindness. Now we're always asking God to be loving kind, lovingly kind towards us. But sometimes, because of certain things that you go through in life, we do not extend, you do not extend, I don't extend 100% of the time the same type of mercy and the same type of loving kindness that we're asking God to shower us with. We want to be forgiven of what we've done. But sometimes, depending, you know, what has happened and who the person is, sometimes we are not as free to forgive others as we want to be free in accepting God's forgiveness for things that we've done wrong, things that we said that we shouldn't have said, places we've gone that we shouldn't have gone, and things that we, lifestyle behaviors that we've engaged in that we shouldn't have. And we're asking for loving kindness, but not willing to extend loving kindness to other people. So that's how the psalmist starts off in Psalm 51. But let's come on down. It says in verse 6, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. Remember through the last few shows I told you there's a scripture that says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Your heart is where your inner parts are. That's where your emotions are, your feelings, you know, what you're thinking. It is the word heart in Hebrew is synonymous with mind. So he said, you desire truth in the inward parts. You desire truth, God, in my emotions. You desire truth in what I'm thinking. You desire truth in how I hear things. You desire truth in my conversations, what I say, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you desire truth in my inward part. Why? Because whatever is on the inside of you is going to show up on the outside. If you have negative thoughts going on, they're going to show up in your conversations, in what you say. It's the negative thoughts are going to have you, will have you to hear things the wrong way, will have you with distorted thinking. You won't have the right mindset. You'll have the negative thought mindset. It'll show up. Whatever's going on the inside of you is eventually going to manifest itself on the outside, in your lifestyle, the way that you live. He said, you desire truth in the inward part. And then the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom, right? In that hidden part, God, in that secret place, if I seek you, if I chase after you, you will reward me with wisdom. If I humble myself before you, you say those who seek you, if someone diligently seeks you, they'll find you. So God, in order for me to experience wisdom in the secret place of who I am, I have to seek after you. So if I want to learn to forgive people, I have to seek after what God says about forgiving. I have to get into the word. I have to allow the word to take active in my life. Hebrews says the word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I have to allow it to go into the inner parts of my being. You know, it could cut all the way to the bone and marrow, go in between all of that, clean that debris and junk up as a result of me being hurt, as a result of me being angry about something and frustrated and bitter about it, as a result of me feeling tense and stressed out about something. Clean all of that up so that when the word comes, I can be free from harboring bitterness, resentment of towards other people, and I can freely forgive without looking back saying, oh wait, I should have, you know, they owe me for that, right? Remember that it says in verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. And hyssop was a branch that they would use to clean people with, you know. And so you want to, God, purge me with the medicine from your word that will make me clean again. I've been hurt. I'm hurting, right? The pain is still there. I need to be free from that. This is all about me right now, God. I'm not being selfish. I'm not being self-centered. But if I'm going to operate and walk in the fullness of who I was created to be, I got to pay attention to me. And I have to yield myself and surrender myself to change. I have to surrender myself to being corrected. I have to surrender myself to being renewed in my mind and in what I say. I have to make sure that I position myself for change to occur. There has to be a transformation that takes place in my life that puts me in a position to be seen differently and to handle people differently. So clean me, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 8, make me hear joy and gladness. Right? When you're angry, when you're bitter, when you're unforgiving, you cannot hear joy. And there is no way that you have gladness on the inside of you. You may chuckle, you may laugh at something every once in a while, but ultimately the core of your being is one that is angry. It is resentful. It is hateful. It is mean-spirited. You cannot harbor unforgiveness and walk around free in the spirit where you are pleasant to people. It doesn't work like that. Even when you don't want to be angry towards someone else, You know, you're thinking about, oh, I'm angry at person A, but really person B is going to get it. Because 9 times out of 10, you're probably not even seeing A too much. So person B is going to catch the butt of all of that, and they're going to suffer all of that anger that you have towards A is going to be misdirected towards B. And now that person has to experience all the meanness, all the sarcasm, all the sharp tongue words, you know, the certain looks, you know, all those things. Person B got to now deal with it. And they don't know anything about A hurting you. They just trying to figure out why you're so angry. Why are you such a mean person, right? So it says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice, right? You got to go through a brokenness with God if you want to be free. Jacob had to wrestle with the angel all night. And when he got up, he was limping. He was limping. I'm not saying you should be limping in life, but the bottom line is you got to wrestle with God. And you got to do this in your secret closet. You know, you really, because some situations you have to struggle with, and you have to press your way through that the pain of that situation in order to forgive. You have to press your way through it in order to be free to forgive. It's not about being superficial where you're saying it because you want to sound like, you know, I'm the bigger person, I'm more spiritual. Mm-mm. Spiritually mature people know how to handle forgiveness. They know how to resolve that unforgiveness, that if they're harboring it towards somebody. They know how to go into the word and get free from that. So let's keep going. It says, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. God, I don't want you to see any wrong that I'm doing. And he sees everything. But, you know, God, blot them out, because I want to be a different person. I want to talk differently. I want to hear differently. I want to communicate with people differently. I want to love differently. I don't want a fake love. I want to love for real, right? I don't want to be mean-spirited. I want to be pleasant. I want to be joyful. I want people to talk about how they enjoy being around me, not going the other way when they see me coming. So, God, I want you to blot out all of my iniquities. I want to be clean so that I can be free to experience the joy that you have. Number 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. If your heart is not clean, you're not going to be a forgiving person. You will forgive those that you want to forgive, but you will not be free to forgive those who really have hurt you. When you choose to hold a grudge, you're going to hold it. And you're going to hold that grudge for a long time. And it's going to cause you more pain. And it's going to be harder for you to hold a grudge than it is for the person who harmed you. You have to go out of your way to hold a grudge. You have to go out of your way to be mean-spirited towards that person. You have to go out of your way. You have to remember that stuff over and over and over again. And then you have to train yourself to respond to them a certain way, which is in a mean spirit, not saying anything at all, walking past them, not saying anything, looking at them a certain way, talking about them to other people. You have to go out of your way to be unforgiving, and you have to go out of your way to hold grudges and be resentful. It's just too much work. You have to go way, way out of your way. And then other people are looking at you trying to figure out, why won't you let that go? Right? So create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence. God, I don't want to be disobedient to your word. Your word says that we are to forgive one another. And if I don't forgive my brother, you won't forgive me. And so I don't want you to cast me away from your presence. I want to be in your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is where I gain my strength. In your presence, when I worship you, is when I hear from you. In your presence is when I get direction about my life and what I'm supposed to do. Don't cast me away from your presence. But if I continue on in unforgiveness, if I continue on in bitterness, if I continue on in resentment, then I'm not going to be in your presence. And then I'm going to suffer the consequences of that. And do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. You don't want to be disconnected from God. You want to be connected to God. You got to make sure you have the right kind of heart when you are talking about forgiving other people, learning to forgive others. When you're talking about getting over the resentment you have and holding grudges and the bitterness that sits in your spirit and destroys everything that God has planned and purposed for your life, because you're not harboring that bitterness and then walking in the spirit at the same time. It's just not going to work. So you have to make a conscious decision that you don't want to harbor that. So let's talk about acceptance. And then I want to spend a few minutes talking to you about the heart a little bit more. So when you talk about acceptance, that's a huge part of the forgiveness process. It really is. So when you acknowledge that you've been hurt, then you have to accept it, that it's real, that this was a real situation that happened in my life. And I need to acknowledge and accept it. I need to acknowledge and accept what has happened. I don't want to stay stuck holding a grudge forever. So sometimes when we are holding grudges and don't want to forgive, we pretend like nothing, you know, well, not necessarily pretend like nothing happened, but we don't want to accept what has happened to us, right? We stay stuck holding that grudge. So we resist the acceptance part because it feels too painful to admit as a reality, you know, because we're thinking, oh, that should have never happened to me. He shouldn't have done that. She shouldn't have said that. They shouldn't have done that to me on the job. There's no reason they should have done that. So we don't accept it. And so that's how we're able to stay stuck in unforgiveness and stay stuck in holding grudges, because we don't acknowledge and accept this was a real situation that happened in my life. Now I need to learn how to manage the emotions that occurred from it. I can't manage the actions because I didn't make them do it, but I can manage my emotions, how I respond now to it. Maybe I've been holding a grudge for 2 years. Maybe I've been holding it for 6 months, but regardless, I've been holding it. So now I need to learn how to manage my emotions so that I can let the grudge go. Because if I don't, I'm going to still hold it, right? So you have to acknowledge and accept it. And when you do that, that does not mean that you are approving of what the person did or that you're forgetting what they did. Instead, it just simply means that you have to stop denying and resisting that this really happened to you. This is a reality. It's painful to accept. The pain is here. The pain is there anyway. So you might as well acknowledge and accept it, because it's at this point, it's where you can move forward to learn to forgive, right? And so you can create for yourself a faith confession, if you will, or a faith acknowledgement statement, if you will, to say out loud to yourself that that you acknowledge that, you know, this is real and that it had an impact upon me. And so you can create something that said that you say, and it may sound, you know, something like, you know, I accept whatever the situation has happened to me. Let's fill in the blanks, right? I accept that I did not get the job that I should have gotten. I accept that I was turned down for the job that happened to me. I accept that it impacted me. I accept that my supervisor hurt me when they didn't offer me the job, and I'm qualified for the job. I'm not happy about it, but I accept it, and I can see it for what it is, right? I know that this happened to me, and I know the person that did it, it impacted me, it hurt, I'm mad about it, I'm sad about it, whatever your emotions are concerning that situation. I'm not happy about it, but I accept it, and I can see it for what it is. And now you're ready to move on to the next phase. You know, if you've been going through the little exercises that you should be doing in your journal, you should right now, you should feel some growing pains coming your way, right? Another part of accepting, before we talk about the heart, is that is when you accept that the situation happened, also accept that the person who was involved in it is human, and that people make mistakes, they make bad decisions, they have their own perceptive of things, a perception of things, they perceive it their own way, and sometimes it's right and sometimes it's just dead wrong, but there's nothing you could do about it. So if you got turned down for a job that you know that you qualify for, you should have been the next person in line in that company for the job, and then they gave it to someone less qualified who hadn't done the amount of work that you have done, haven't put in the time. That's a reality of it. People make bad decisions in life, in companies. Customers make bad decisions. If you're an entrepreneur, they make bad decisions. They don't buy from you. They don't pay for your services, go to somebody else thinking that they're better than you. They mess up. They don't get the service that they want. It's painful sometimes, especially if you know the person. And then you find out later what it went to someone else. right? And so all of that is real. Those type of situations and those type of incidents are real. But it's really about you positioning yourself to learn to forgive, position yourself to be free from what unforgiveness causes in your life. It's not about justifying or excusing the other person's behavior. It is simply about positioning yourself to stop the pain of unforgiveness and walk into forgiving others so that you can experience the joy that God has purposed for your life. See it sometimes from the other person's perspective. It just depends on what your situation was like. Again, if it's involving any type of verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, I don't need to see it from the other person's perspective. Those things are legally wrong. I don't have to see it from that. But we're talking about an argument maybe you got in with someone or even somebody on the supervisor who gave the job to the wrong person, right? You can look at it from the other person's perspective if that's comfortable for you. Maybe they were pressured to give it to the other person. Maybe they just simply made a bad decision, right, about giving the person the job. So you just have to figure out for yourself what is comfortable for you to do. So if it's not comfortable for you to see the other person's view it from the other person's perspective, then don't do it. Just take it from yours, but you still got to forgive. You still have to learn to forgive the other person, and you have to learn to let it go. So look at the heart, right? So when we talk about your heart, spiritually, when we talk about your heart, it's God's position for righteousness. That's the purpose of your heart. God's position for righteousness spiritually. It's the avenue or access to being in right standing with God. Remember the scripture psalmist said, create in me a clean heart. If you want to learn to forgive, you must pray, God, create in me a clean heart. I can't forgive with an unclean heart. I need my heart clean. That puts me in right standing with you. That positions me for righteousness with you, right? The Bible tells us that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your mouth is going to expose what's inside your heart. And one of your things in life, one of your issues or issues of life are usually settled, you know, in your heart. Guard your heart without diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So out of your heart, the issues of life are settled. So you want to make sure that everything that's coming from your heart are clean. It's not contaminated. You want to make sure that, you know, that it is positioned correctly. Your heart is clean. It's pure before God because God looks at your heart, right? The end result of your faith is determined by your heart. The timetable of what you are believing for is determined by the condition of your heart. When your heart is right toward God and your desire to please God, he is obligated to bring into you the knowledge that you need, the company of the people that you need to know that are connected to the destiny of your life. But you have to make sure your heart is right, right? The reality of your life comes out of your heart. And the condition of your heart is critical for the harvest that you want to receive in your life. Your heart is the core of your being. Everything comes from your heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Guard your heart without diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Right? We are to serve God with our whole heart. The heart is very important. You cannot learn to forgive unless your heart is clean. So get your heart clean first, God, clean. Create in me a clean heart first so that when I forgive, I'm not just superficially forgiving. I am doing it from the core of my being. I am doing it out of sincerity. I am doing it in spirit and in truth. So let me give you three avenues to your heart. Your eyes, what you see, your ears, what you hear, and your mouth, what you say. Those are three avenues to your heart. What you see will affect what your heart is feeling. What you hear, how you hear things, what you hear. Again, if you're unforgiving, when you hear something, it has to be filtered through all of that debris of unforgiveness. So a person could say one thing, but you will hear something totally different because you're filtering it through all of the debris that goes along with an unclean heart and an unforgiving heart. And then your mouth, what you say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And there are some things, I guarantee you, that you will say it before you realize you said it. Because sometimes when you're so full of anger, at the right moment, if something triggers it, something will show up out of your mouth. Your body language, everything changes. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you want to make sure that what you say is in alignment with what the word of God says you should be saying, you have to make sure that your heart is clean and that your heart is pure. Doesn't mean you won't get angry. Doesn't mean that you won't mess up and say the wrong things at times. But what it does mean is that you won't be that kind of person. That's not going to be the personality that defines who you are. That's not going to be the look that people see. Here's three ways to judge your heart. Confessions of your mouth, what comes out of your mouth. We just talked about that. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. If you want to know where your heart is, where is your treasure? Is your treasure in being unforgiving? Is there treasure in being envious, resentful, being bitter? Is your treasure in holding grudges, trying to take revenge on people? Is that where your treasure is? Because if so, that's where we're going to find your heart. You want to make sure that's not your heart, get your heart clean, right? And then how you deal with other people. That's going to show the three ways that you to judge your heart. How do I treat people will say to you how to look at what's going on in your heart. You know your heart better than any human being, not better than God, but you do know it better than any other human being. So you know if you're hurting, you know if you're full of anger, you know if you're holding a grudge, you know if you're plotting a revenge against somebody, you know if you're resentful, you know it. We may not know it right off the bat, but deep on the inside, you know exactly what's going on in your heart. There are four reasons why the condition of your heart is so important. And we're going to close with these four reasons. One, it determines whether or not you'll be used by God. Are you going to be used of God? You know, and sometimes we just walk around, we're so spiritual that we're no earthly good. And we think that, you know, we create our own self-righteousness. And rather than doing what the word of God tells us to do, we try to bypass that. And we create this righteousness that makes us look like we're standing upright, like we're standing tall. Oh, I'm over that. You know, I'm the bigger person. I'm not even thinking about that. And deep on the inside, your stomach is boiling in knots because the person just walked past you and you're unforgiving. Oh, I let that go. But if we catch you at home away from the job, catch you at home away from church, and listen to conversations that you're having on the phone with people or just in your home, we will find out that you're not the bigger person that you think you are and that you're still harboring that unforgiveness in your spirit. Number two, it determines whether or not your faith will work. If your heart is unclean, your faith's not going to work. You're not even going to try to use faith. You're going to be speaking from anger, speaking from hurt, speaking from pain, speaking from doubt sometimes. Because sometimes we don't forgive ourselves, and because we don't forgive ourselves, we walk around with self-limiting beliefs. We walk around in self-doubt. We walk around feeling like we're not good enough. No way God can forgive us, and we haven't forgiven ourselves. And it just creates a whole nother venue of bad cycles in our lives. Number three, it determines whether or not God will bless you. If you don't forgive your brother, God will not forgive you. I want to be blessed by God. So I'm going to practice forgiveness, even when it's hard to do. I'm going to practice forgiveness and mean it because I want to be blessed by God. I can't control another person's actions, and I can't control their emotions, but I can speak to my own, and I can control how I respond to that person. I can control if I'm nice to them. I can control if I'm pleasant to them. Number four, it determines whether or not God hears you when you pray. I don't want my prayers hitting the ceiling. I want my prayers in the ears of God. Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit. Renew a right spirit within me. Created me a clean heart, O God, and create a steadfast spirit within me. If you want to guard your heart, make sure you monitor your thought life. Make sure you guard your eyes, guard your ears, and guard your mouth. And if you can get your heart right, you have positioned yourself to learn to forgive others, and you have positioned yourself to practice forgiving others and discipline yourself to forgive others. We're all human. We all make mistakes. Let's walk in forgiveness so that we can walk in the fullness of joy that God created us to walk in. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for this great teaching. I ask now that the words that were used to teach this lesson on today will not fall on deaf ears, but will fall on ears that will hear and fall into good ground, that it will return 100-fold, that in that soil, as the seed was planted, that growth is taking place, and that growth will manifest at the appropriate time in the lives of everyone who needs to learn to forgive. I pray, Father God, that those who are harboring grudges and bitterness and resentment, Lord God, and unforgiveness in their hearts will free everything to you, Lord God. Cast their cares upon you because you care for them. I pray that they will pray as the psalmist said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I pray that they will stand on your word, Lord God, and humble themselves to have their hearts created anew, to be clean, that their minds will change, Lord God, and that their actions will change, which will change their lives. We thank you for this opportunity, Father God, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you become our great comforter, become our great teacher as we go through this process. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Take care. I'm Minister Ginger London. Thank you so much. We're doing days 5 and 6. I'll see you on 7 and 8. God bless you, everybody.